98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
We talked about playing a gender-free football with every man being a star in his role.
Lob pass near side, picked off by Baker. The highest paid safety in the game. Maybe the best safety in the game.
This guy strikes like a cobra.
Throws it deep far side into the end zone. It is picked off by Patrick Peterson. Quick throw over the middle. Picked off. It's intercepted at the 40-yard line. Isaiah Simmons has it.
When you watch the way they're playing, the physicality, the way they're flying around with the football and having fun doing so, it's a fun culture to be around.
Doug and Wolf talk Cardinals now.
I don't know about you, Wolf, but I personally blame Paul for this.
Okay, well, let's see. Last I was on, I got called a double-A battery. I've never been so offended in my life.
Stop.
I don't know what that means. I mean, I guess it's some backhanded shot at diminutive Americans when, oh, I don't know. It's just Buddha Baker and Kyler Murray and the rest of us are living in their world these days. What do you got, Doug?
In exactly 3 hours and 50 minutes, Carlos Dunlap's tenure as a Bengal will end.
Oh, okay.
And his introduction to the NFC West will begin.
Oh,
boy.
Oh, no.
Okay. According to Adam Schefter, starting
Seattle
at 4 o'clock Eastern, Carlos Dunlap's trade from Cincinnati.
No, don't do it, John Schneider.
To Seattle becomes official.
Come on.
My goodness, there it is right there, Carlos Dunlap. Well, it makes a lot of sense, right? The Seattle Seahawks have given up more yards than anybody else, more passing yards than anybody else, more first downs than anybody else. They can't get any pressure on the quarterback. Their sacks per attempt, number 29 in the National Football League. They don't knock anybody down. They don't get in anybody's face. Wolf, that makes perfect sense.
Wolf, going forward, in the name of brevity, all you have to say when you talk about Dallas's defense, instead of citing a half dozen stats in the analytics, just say Seattle's defense is worse than the Dallas Cowboys.
Yes.
That's all you need to know. That's the only perspective and real gauge you need to truly understand and comprehend how horrendous Seattle's defense is by simply saying they're worse than the Cowboys.
I would disagree with that, Paulie, because honestly, if you look at the Dallas Cowboys, it's a toss-up. It's a toss-up. And just ask Mike Nolan if you don't believe it. He's rubbing Tabasco into his eyes. This guy is, can it get any worse in Big D?
Well, that's just a dramatic reenactment of how Cowboys fans feel watching their defense. It's like getting Tabasco in your eye. That's his way of sort of conveying it. It's like Shakespeare in the park. That's what that is.
Man.
I mean, seriously.
He should easily be there for Seattle when they play against the Cardinals on Thursday Night Football. I forget all of the parameters, but I believe it's 10 days. Please give me some room there if I'm wrong. Where even though, and I don't understand it to be honest, but even though he's gone through all the protocols with the Bengals, there's a new set of protocols you go through when you are traded.
Yes.
So he's got to go through those protocols before he's cleared. And then you imagine after that, he's then got to get ready to understand everything Seattle. Seattle is going home to take on San Francisco this weekend. So I'm confident enough in my knowledge that there's no way Dunlap plays coming up against San Francisco. Then they've got back-to-back road games, Buffalo and Rams. And I would have to assume he should be available for Buffalo and will definitely be available for Rams, and therefore he should be ready to go at home to hit Kyler Murray on Thursday Night Football on November 19th.
Let's hope the Seahawks get the same ROI on Carlos Dunlap they got on Jadeveon Clowney.
Ah,
honestly. Jadeveon Clowney had 3 sacks.
Yeah.
All the hullabaloo, and they paid him, and, oh, he's going to be the difference maker, and you got a game plan. No, you didn't have to game plan for Jadeveon Clowney in a Seahawks uniform. He did next to nothing other than the first meeting against the Cardinals last year when he got a gift of a pick six. Remember that? It got thrown right to him on what was a screen pass that went awry. Other than that, Jadeveon Clowney did jack to the squat last year, so let's hope that's the same deal with Carlos Dunlap.
And I do want to say this. The Seattle Seahawks are better with Carlos Dunlap. They're better with him right now than they are without him.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
So he's 31 years old. He's only had, I believe it's a sack and a half this year, right? His numbers are really, really down this year, but something else is going on there. I have no idea what that something else is, but it's been very contentious between Carlos Dunlap and this coaching staff. Very, very contentious. And because of that, they sent him home. It was that bad.
And he's a big winner because, just in case you care about this stuff, If you make over $250,000 in Ohio, it's a 4.8 income tax. In Washington, there is no state income tax.
Gotcha.
So he gets to keep that money.
Right.
And on top of it, he's only got 1 year left on the contract. Well, and if he does anything, they will want to extend him because they desperately need the help.
Well, that and you save on sunglasses in Seattle. You don't have to spend money on sunglasses because you never see the sun in Seattle. So there's that as well.
There's no state income tax?
In Washington.
You're kidding me.
No.
That blows my mind. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, look, everybody, you learn something every day.
If I'm not mistaken, and I'm guessing here, it's Florida, what? Texas, Tennessee, and Washington have no state income tax.
Okay, Florida, Texas, Tennessee, and Washington.
It could be more, but that's the four I know.
Which one here is not like the other?
Yeah, that would be Washington.
All right,
that's weird.
Thank you.
And then Alaska, if you live there long enough, they pay you to live there. They do. You get money from the oil reserves in Alaska, but I think you have to live there like 18 months to get it.
That's knowledge you can use.
Is it April 15th right now? Look, here's the deal. The deal is that not only are they going to have Carlos Dunlap when the Cardinals get the rematch, they're going to have Jamal Adams as well. And Jamal Adams will make a difference.
Kind of like
that Seattle defense.
Buda Baker made a difference not playing against the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. Coming up next, how does Kyler Murray's season compare to last year's MVP? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
I don't think there's anybody truly like him. He's in a class of his own.
He's dynamic. He has a live arm to make all the throws.
Man, he got wheels, I can tell you that.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
He did it again. He made the defender look silly out in space.
That has a different dynamic to this offense.
Doug and Wolf talk Kyler Murray now.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, Kyler. Are you talking to me? Kyler Murray! Yeah, Kyler! Ray! Expect the MVP! Ray! Expect winning the MVP! He's on pace to win it, isn't he, Lamar Jackson?
Huh.
Yeah!
It's funny to think about. I had no qualms at all of Lamar Jackson winning last year's MVP. 14-2, the season that he had, without a doubt. And yet you can't help but be interested in the way Kyler Murray, not blowing him away, but in most statistical categories, he's having a better year through seven games.
Okay, like what, Douglas?
Passing yards. Kyler Murray is ahead of him by almost 200.
Okay, almost 200 yards. Kyler Murray ahead.
That's a good amount.
That's really not a surprise.
Mm-hmm. In passing touchdowns, he's two ahead. So compare both 7 weeks of the season for Lamar and Kyler. He's at 13, Lamar's at 11.
Not a surprise, not a shock.
He completes 3.5% of his passes. And I think that's pretty impressive because especially last year, they used even more of the little pop passes than the Cardinals do and did. So when you talk about you're doing better than Lamar, and Lamar's getting the benefit of a lot of those 8-inch passes when the running back is in motion and you just flip it to him, that's a completed pass.
I will admit I expect higher from Kyler Murray.
Than 66.8.
Absolutely.
That's fair. Rushing touchdowns, this is the one that shocked me. He's got 7 to Lamar's 3. So he has more rushing touchdowns than Lamar Jackson did.
Wow.
Now,
at the same time last season.
Yes, through seven games.
Okay, there we go.
Now, Lamar Lamar has 139.
Man, I guarantee you, now I've done that about 3 times. That's right, baby. Bang that thing.
Lamar Jackson has about 140 more yards rushing through 7 games.
Okay.
But in almost 20 attempts.
Wow, 20 attempts more for Lamar Jackson.
So when you do the math, he's averaging 7 inches a carry more than Kyler Murray.
Wow.
Not yards.
Through the first 7 games of the season.
So when you look at those numbers, and again, I'm not trying to stand on the table and say I would vote for Kyler this year. I wouldn't. Right now it would still be Russell Wilson, despite his 3 picks that he threw on Sunday Night Football. And I would still stand on the table for Lamar Jackson last year. But just for the sake of discussion, it's interesting to look at how good Kyler is doing. And with back-to-back performances on Monday night and Sunday Night Football, I think the rest of the nation is looking at him saying, okay, I got my eye on you. Not overwhelmingly impressed, but impressed enough.
You know, there's something about this MVP conversation that you have to have that, and you have to talk about this because it goes all the way back to 2019. It does. How many games did the Arizona Cardinals win in 2019?
The same number they have in 2020.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
important.
Yeah.
Because now all of a sudden, that's the way a lot of these people look at it. If in fact the Arizona Cardinals were to win 11 or 12 games this year, and that's what they're on pace for right now, if they were to win 11 or 12 games this year and Kyler Murray continues to be one of the big reasons why and posts the numbers that he's posted, that juxtaposition of 2019 to 2020 matters. It really matters a lot. It's all about perception. And the perception clearly is that, oh my goodness, this team is so much better because Kyler Murray is so much better.
Not a lot of people win MVPs with 7
wins. The MVP.
Wins. Yeah, you got to be on a winning team. Dan Orlovsky was on ESPN on Monday. And he goes in a little bit of a different direction on where the hype should be with Kyler Murray.
Kyler came into this season with high expectations, and the first 2 games played really, really well. And then he had this 2-week stretch where, you know, he didn't play that great, and he wasn't seeing coverage good. He was struggling versus zone pressure. And then, you know, the last 3 weeks, it's kind of been like he's settled in key. And, you know, we talk about, I remember when Kyler was coming out of school, everyone continued to talk about, well, his height, he's not going to be big enough, and, you know, those hits will add up. And I think almost like with Lamar Jackson, we undervalued his competitive spirit.
Boy, that is a great observation right there. Dan Orlovsky, this guy, every time he says something, it's like, yeah, man.
I was well, always amazed, and truth be told, I was shocked in watching Oklahoma games. And I remember thinking, I think this guy's better than Baker. And I remember not being too afraid to say it because it just sounded like so crazy. Yet at the same time, I want to be fair, I was not on the draft Kyler bandwagon at all. I still like Quinnen Williams. And, you know, with 5'8", you know, Kyler Murray, I wasn't gung-ho about it.
That's what I thought he was.
But one of the things I could not stand about the Kyler Murray conversation is – the people that would say, because he's only lost 3 times in his life, how's he going to handle losing? And they said that as a knock against him. I didn't mind if you talked about it like, boy, this will be interesting to see how he handles losing, because of course he's going to lose. But there were some people that were actually saying, I don't want to draft him because I don't want to find out how he's going to handle losing. And since when is winning a bad characteristic? And that's the way some people were framing his inability to process losing. Great. Don't you want that?
Yeah, the thing I'm most impressed about in regard to Kyler Murray, it's not the numbers, even though the numbers are impressive. There's no doubt about it, especially when you juxtapose those numbers to Lamar Jackson. But to me, based on needs, it's how he's doing it and when he's doing it. As a former player, man, see, that to me is really what matters, right? It matters when you step out onto the field on Monday night and play in front of a Monday night audience against the Dallas Cowboys. It matters when you do it Sunday Night Football. You're on the stage, the big stage. You're right in the middle. This is your act, your scene. And suddenly you deliver, over-deliver, the way that Kyler Murray did. It's when he did it. It's the fact that he showed great resiliency coming back, the entire team, the leadership of Kyler Murray. Those are the things that remain with me as a former player, and those are the things that I'm impressed with. It's when he's doing it and how he's doing it.
By the way, sorry, I was listening to something. By the way, we lost today. We hate to admit it. We lost.
What?
Not only, but Steven Jackson did not call in to the Doug and Wolf show today.
Oh, my goodness.
So we weren't able to salute our winner and be excited about it. So we are now 2 for 3. But Anna, congratulations. Anna called in and stole it from Steven.
Okay.
So Anna texted gate to 62620. Her name wasn't called, but she was still listening and ready to go.
Anna.
Calls in, and she gets the why am I flaming out today?
Doug Lease, I have no idea. I'm worried about myself.
I blame you for your day off. Suddenly I'm taking it.
When
Four
is
Peaks
my day off?
Is going to give you a $250 prize pack that you could win through our exclusive tailgate. And Anna won a brand new barbecue grill and an Arizona Sports Cornhole set. One of the coolest prizes, if you want to win it, text GATE to 620-620 and make sure you're listening tomorrow morning at 7:30.
Friday.
Coming up next, Torrey Lovello stares down the Dodgers. And it made us feel a lot better than the Dodgers did last night. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Next. To take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
Boy, there's a lot of topics out there today, Maloney. What you got?
Should Major League Baseball have stopped the game once it got news of Justin Turner's positive test? Yes
no.
or no?
No.
No.
I thought they handled it beautifully.
No.
70% say no, 30% say yes.
Boy, I wonder what the answer to that question would be in different parts of the country.
Yeah.
Because different parts of the country have different feelings about COVID. And it's that's a really interesting question because you, on the one hand, you knew he was out there and contact tracing would say he's been too close to all these people.
Without a
doubt. You got to pull him. I'm really wondering what would have happened today. If the Rays win game 6, are we having a game 7 tonight?
Man.
Are they going to take a week off for contact tracing? Because you learned in a lot of other situations that you might be testing positive 3 days after you were contagious or two, you know, it all varies and everybody, and I don't even want to speculate on stuff because it seems to change every month what we know about coronavirus, but what would baseball have done? Wow, would have helped baseball to have a week to build up Game 7?
You want to talk about an asterisk.
Yeah,
right?
That's true, too. I mean,
think about that. If, in fact, they had to play Game 7 a week later. Can you imagine that?
Yeah. Boy,
oh,
then,
my gosh.
Then you know Clayton's got to get the ball, right, over Walker Buehler?
Yeah, no,
and then if he flames out on that one? We had Torrey Lovello on the show this morning. Wolf asked him just simply, how do you feel about the Dodgers winning at all? And if you're a Diamondbacks fan, you had to love his answer.
Yeah, I probably the same way everybody else does times infinity in the valley there. Look, it's tough when you compete against certain teams and you see them as often as we do and you develop a dislike for them. You know, they're good people, they're good players, they're good leadership. But it's a rivalry, and in order to get that rivalry going in the right direction, we got to compete with them. We've done that very well until 2020, you know, I feel very strongly that we're going to get there. But it is extremely painful to watch them win a world championship.
I had to laugh, ladies and gentlemen. I did. I had to laugh right there when he said it. It's just Torrey. It's who he is. Right, the understatement of the year, right there. You know what? You build up a dislike for them. A dislike. We all know what that is, right? Gene Stallings would say, brother, you gotta hate the enemy. And he meant that. And back in 1985, you went out there and you didn't hate them, ladies and gentlemen, but man, you went out there and you played. They were your enemy on the football field for 3 hours. There's no denying that. It was just so funny the way he said it. You build up a dislike for this.
Yes.
Then, only Torrey would say it that nicely.
We asked him, how do you slow down this monster now that they've won one?
Every organization has their own unique challenges. And payroll is certainly not one of them for the Dodgers. So we're aware of the fact that they can just reload. And, you know, my worry is more centered on our dugout and what we're going to have to do to compete with them. And I'm making sure that our guys are ready every single inning to go out and compete. We've done that very well. Like I said, I know what the record is over the past 4 years, but we feel very strongly that they're always going to be a team that's going to be right in the thick of it. Whether they're rolling or not, I don't know how much more they can get rolling than what they've been doing over the past 4 years since I've been with the D-backs. They've been a very strong team and a very strong organization.
He was complimentary, but
so funny. That little
slight. Right, yeah. Payroll is not one of them. Sign up for Bix Picks. Text PICK to 620-620 to sign up and compete for a weekly prize from Pizza Hut. You'll also be competing against Dan Bickley for your chance to win the grand prize 75-inch TV, courtesy of Corona Extra. That's text PICK to 620-620.
Listen, research, and Doug. Research, and Doug.
So if they do it against Miami, Wolf, it'll actually tie one of your records that you were a part of. The great voice of Arizona State, Tim Healy, gives you research and Doug.
Stand up on the bench and wave that towel, Wolf. The Cardinals have scored 30-plus in each of their last three games. The franchise record is four straight games with 30 or more points when you won four straight back in 1988. The offense couldn't have done it without you, Wolf. You caught a pass for a very important three-yard gain against the Rams in the third game of the winning streak. And Gene Stallings trusted you to carry the ball four times when you beat Craig Wolfley's Pittsburgh Steelers.
That's right. So you're saying to
four
me,
points.
I touched the ball four times.
And they handed it off to you four times. It's four games with 30 points is the record.
Man, I'll
and you started 0-2 in 88 and then won four straight.
Scat back.
I don't know if it was really, you know, going that far or anything.
Boy, it brought back memories, though, right there to me. Thank you.
This will kind of shock you.
Hey, Wolf, who do you think has the highest completion percentage on passes from outside the pocket?
Outside the pocket?
Yes.
Did I play with him?
No, this year, 2020.
This year.
So far
okay.
This year.
Outside the pocket, Patrick Mahomes.
Wrong. It's Jared Goff, who has completed 80% of his passes from outside the pocket.
Did you ever guess that?
Boy, there's no way.
Jared Goff?
Which is why you had wrong.
Yeah, I do. There's no way you could
get
that.
There's no way I'd guess Jared Goff.
There's no way.
Hey, Wolf, remember when you went on strike? The NFC East is the only division in the history of the NFL to have no three-win teams by week seven, except for any season when Wolf is holding a sign.
The only time we've had a division this bad is when you were on strike.
1987?
Yeah.
Holding unfair wages. What? Oh my goodness, that is good stuff, Timmy.
That was kind of crazy that we even had that one. Tim Healy doing research and Doug, all the stats that I kind of see. Even Maloney chipped in, the Cardinals chip in, and send me cool stats. And if I think you'd be interested in it, Tim Healy reads it for us.
The 2020 season marks just the second time in the last 47 years that the Cardinals rushed for 100-plus yards in each of the first seven games of a season. The only other time being 1984.
Ooh.
After that season, the Cardinals drafted a new fullback and the running went to...
Just stop it, Timmy. Are you kidding me? My goodness. It's not really a surprise, though, when you think of all the called runs for Kyler Murray.
That's why.
The design runs for Kyler Murray. Juxtapose what we saw last season to this season. It's night and day in that regard.
You were talking about Diamondbacks Dodgers and playing in a division with the Dodgers. How about this for the Cardinals?
The NFC West has 16 wins outside the division. No one else has more than 12.
Oh, my goodness. How about that? You know what? Honestly, they've got 19 wins overall.
Because three of those are against division teams.
19 wins overall. The second is 17 with the AFC North. And then there's a big gap. It drops all the way down to, I believe, 13 after that.
Wow, that's pretty impressive by you. This is one that might shock you.
The Ravens are the only team in the NFL averaging more rushing yards per game than the Cardinals.
Wow. There it is, Kyler Murray. There it is. Lamar Jackson, go back and look at what the Baltimore Ravens did the year before they went 14-2. With Lamar Jackson. That's why if the Cardinals can replicate it, 12-4, 11-5, maybe even 11-5, if he posts serious numbers like he is and has so far, Kyler Murray's going to be right in the middle of that MVP conversation.
And your last one?
Despite missing a game due to injury, Buda Baker leads all NFL defensive backs with 59 tackles.
Not a surprise.
And he's down a game.
Not a surprise at all.
Everybody in the top five on that list has played seven games. Boot has played six, and he still leads in tackles.
It's just incredible what he's done the last two games in particular. Monday Night Football, Sunday Night Football, big-time player.
Coming up next, Paul's Call finds you a way to drop off your ballot. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Paul's Call is brought to you by Brooklyn Betting. For the best sleep ever, go to brooklynbetting.com.
Hey, it's your call, man.
No.
It's your call.
No, it's your
call. We should have pulled you guys for Luke.
Hey, nitwits. It's Paul's Call.
You know, I do hate to start with a gripe.
The airing of grievances.
I mean, a bad lead off with a gripe, but if Kevin Cash can yank Blake Snell.
I mean, what are you doing?
Hey, Kevin Cash, you know what? Go stand next to Jeff Fisher.
I know what I'm doing.
Just like we thought, we kind of knew what we were doing.
Oh, idiot.
When we drafted you-know-who.
Cam.
Our backup quarterback, that's right, on the Pauly Pigskins is...
Oh, Cam.
Our starter Lamar Jackson last week was on a bye, but on our bench.
Cam.
I mean, we couldn't wait to unleash Cam on some fool.
Can't wait.
I've been so busy, I haven't even had a chance to check on the results. Let's see here. Cam Newton, 9 of 15 passing for 98 yards, 3 interceptions, and a passer rating of 39.7.
That is a reported dumpster fire.
And Cam did not earn me any points whatsoever, but Cam cost me points.
No.
I mean, minus for Cam. How does your starting quarterback earn negative points?
I don't go out there and laugh. It's not funny. It's not fun. Nothing's funny to me.
I mean, you guys.
Damn, no.
You guys think Wall Street has been bad this week?
U.S. stock markets plunged Monday morning.
You think the Dow has tanked? I mean, hey, Cam, are you uptight or playing scared?
Nervous. No. Scared. Absolutely not.
Right.
Thinking.
Yeah.
Now that's something that I could.
Overthinking, like Kevin Cash, maybe. I mean, the Pauly Pigskins are now officially the Jets of our fantasy league.
They can't get a whole hell of a lot worse.
Right.
I mean, we're 1-7.
We have one win. Cam's accuracy is basically akin to the sawed-off shotgun of sports.
Oh,
sports takes and booing fans in the commissioner's direction.
Roger Goodell.
No. No, that's the wrong commissioner. Okay, let's see here. Commissioner getting booed.
It's Commissioner Gary Bettman.
Oh, my bad. I'm sorry.
Vociferous.
I gotta label these more specifically here. Let's see here. Commissioner getting booed. Please, baseball.
2020 is gonna be remembered.
Right. Ooh, ouch.
Listen.
Ouch. Oh. Rob Manfred was not
happy that there's actually fans in the ballpark.
He was not happy last night. The visual, he was visibly agitated and angry as the boos. He paused for a good 30 seconds.
It wasn't that first time like Roger Goodell.
Yeah, was booed.
The look of shock on his face.
He was peeved.
Roger Goodell.
No, it wasn't like shock and awe. Like he was agitated as the boos rained down.
I mean, 2020 is going to be remembered as a baseball season like no other.
You're a bum.
And especially our players.
I'm just rough.
We're presented with an array of unique challenges.
Shut it.
The Los Angeles Dodgers met every one of those challenges.
Get out.
Bravely.
Okay.
This is truly a team of champions.
That rung a little hollow. And honestly, guys, I mean, it's really... It's the bookend because it brings Rob Manfred's season full circle, does it not? Remember back in February, we had this.
Atlanta Braves outfielder Nick Markakis angry.
I feel like every single guy over there needs a beating.
And disappointed in Commissioner Rob Manfred.
He should be embarrassed of himself.
Around the horn we go with Manfred rip jobs.
Washington Nationals infielder Howie Kendrick.
The commissioner really hasn't done a great job.
Atlanta Braves outfielder Nick Markakis.
He should be embarrassed of himself.
So, yeah, of course, the players didn't appreciate him denigrating the World Series trophy itself back before spring training. That didn't help his standing.
An asterisk or asking for a piece of metal back seems, sort of a futile act.
I don't know, but there was
mistake.
Manfred last night was handing out that, what was it again?
Asking for a piece of metal back.
So the Dodgers earned that piece of metal. For the first time since 1988, the Dodgers got that coveted piece of metal.
Even funnier, Paul, was Justin Turner, when all that happened, said the only flaw with the championship trophy is the commissioner's name on it. Because it's called the commissioner's trophy.
Yeah.
And now Justin Turner's the one that's out there.
Good thing for the commish, there's comfort in numbers when it comes to taking a beatdown.
I mean, I'm not going to question him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a hell of a manager. So.
Okay, well, that's Blake Snell. He's on an island with that opinion. The Dodgers were asked about their reaction in the dugout when Snell got yanked. Mookie Betts.
Just why. You know, I wasn't exactly sure why, and I wasn't going to ask any more questions after that because he was rolling through that game pretty well. And, you know, you just be thankful sometimes.
I mean, again, one out in the sixth. Snell had allowed – he'd allowed just two hits while striking out nine in a 73-pitch performance.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Exactly, Greg. The next three hitters would have been Betts, Corey Seager, and Justin Turner, who were a combined 0-for-6 with six strikeouts against Snell.
Oh, mercy.
And he wasn't just striking guys out. He was making them look bad.
Yeah. Well, it's all ball bearings,
I mean, he was clowning dudes. And Kevin Cash puts in a pitcher who was charged with at least one run in each of his last seven appearances.
Ridiculous.
The only thing worse, I would say, would be now listening to Dodgers fans.
2020 has been the worst year ever, but this makes it all better.
That guy and this guy.
What a season. We had the Lakers. Now we have the Dodgers. This is amazing. The greatest week of my life.
We have won the championship. This is everything. Dodgers, let's go!
So we all have 4 or 5 months to get our minds right for Dodger fans who are going to invade spring training and then Chase Field.
We have won the championship.
I know.
This is everything. Dodgers, let's go!
Time to go buy a house in Crown King.
I was actually more agitated in 88. I went to the 88 World Series at the Oakland Coliseum, and I'm like every other A's fan back at the time who's still saying, who the is Mickey Hatcher? And why is Mickey bleeping Hatcher hitting 500 in the World Series with two key home runs? It's akin to Red Sox fans saying, Bucky,
I am depressed.
Bleeping Dent.
It's 133 people in Crown King.
Can I get a lie detector?
Jerry, it's not a lie if you believe it.
Trevor Lawrence asked a question, and it's not a tough question.
I'm not sure. That's a tough one, but we'll see how it all unfolds.
Asked if he might stay at Clemson.
I'm not sure. That's a tough one.
Come on.
We'll just have to see how things unfold. There's a lot of factors in that. Honestly, just playing this year, putting everything I have into it, not really focusing on next year, whether you know I leave or stay, whatever. Obviously, I have the option to do either one.
No. Just
fishy, fishy.
Just stop it.
I believe him. You know why? He's watching the Jets. The Jets go 0-16, he's going back to Clemson. Yeah.
Now, if you're telling me he's setting the table to force a trade from the Jets, I'd believe that.
Okay.
And now it's time for another edition of
I'll be gone.
Again, we do not take orders from you, Walt. What about Paul's call? Do you not understand? As attention seniors, we have news you can use. Listen up. That means you, Sun City, wake up.
Bacon, a whole damn plate.
We have a voting reminder that in many cities nationwide, your local funeral home will give you a ride to the polls.
I'll be gall-dang.
Funeral homes nationwide have come together to give you seniors a ride.
And I know what you guys might be thinking at home. No, they're not going to be taking you to vote in the back of one of these. Instead, they're going to be using one of these.
That's a TV reporter, live local 8 breaking. He's pointing to a limo and saying they use these, the limo, and not this, a hearse.
I'll be gold dying.
I'm just stopping.
Again, they're using non-hearse fleet vehicles, and it will not be the last ride of your life, we think.
Pretty comfortable ride.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like riding in a hearse.
No loading caskets, just loading passengers into limos to cast their ballots.
I'd be offended by the thought.
You seniors, there are funeral homes that will transport you to the polls.
Since 1996, the funeral home director has spent his election days with a livelier crowd than he's used to.
A livelier crowd, yeah, see, because usually he's driving cadavers.
I'll be golden.
Who sat there and thought to themselves, man, this is going to be a good promotion right here?
I'm impressed, I admit.
They got to attract their next customer, so go to the seniors.
Yeah, I think it's
Paul's call.
Thank you, Paul.
I think it's pretty brilliant.
How did the show make you feel?
It's fish in a barrel.
Doug and Wolf's. The U. brought to you by Carol Royce Keller Williams Realty East Valley. Get more money selling your home. Go to CarolHasTheBuyers.com. That's CarolHasTheBuyers.com.
The only good thing about the Dodgers winning the World Series is that means the 2020 season is officially closed. Why should you care? Today, Yasmani Tomas becomes a free agent.
No. Yasmani Nomas, yes. A free agent today. That's almost like when the one and only World Series game I've ever been to, and it was ruined by Mickey bleeping Hatcher.
It's good to see, Basinonians, that human nature still determined the winner of the World Series.
Peace and strength.